A to Z family, what is going on? Thank you for tuning in to another episode. We got Kev, Bronx Sports Jedi here, and we're going to be joined by a Giants fan in a minute, hopefully, whenever he comes on. So, Kev, how's it going tonight?
Good evening, Zach. Good evening, A to Z Media Network. Everyone listening, watching us here in Twitter as well, and YouTube, and all the different platforms, the audio platform on Spotify. We salute you guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful evening. This 10 days to Christmas. 10 days to Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone and salute.
Yeah, of course. Happy holidays to all the people watching, and thank you for giving us your time in such a hectic time of the year. And can't wait to talk some Cowboys and Giants football for this NFC's discussion and this pregame show. The Cowboys play the Giants in East Rutherford, New Jersey, this Sunday. So we're going to get into that first, but first let me say this. Sorry that I haven't been putting out Cowboys content recently. I've been on a Michigan high, and I've been so happy with my Wolverines, but it's back to some Cowboys talk as we have a big game coming up in the division, Kev.
It's a big game. NFC East rivals, the New York Giants versus the Dallas Cowboys in New Jersey. East Rutherford, New Jersey. Wow. You know, it's a rivalry. We saw the Cowboys trying to go for a sweep, a season series sweep against the New York Giants. And right now the Giants, believe it or not, and say what you say, they're in the hunt, although very slim. They're just barely coming up for air, just to breathe, just to keep alive. But it could start, away from the Giants to start against the Cowboys. But the Cowboys have a lot of bigger fish to fry. We want to win the division and jockey for a real tight NFC conference, for the first round bye, or actually a second round. But it's up in the air. They could actually be the first seed, the one seed in the conference. If everything plays out, their schedule is in favor of them to actually go on a run and actually, dare I say, get the first conference seed and have the road to the Super Bowl come through Dallas, Jerry's world. At worst, personally, I think at worst they should be a two. With that schedule.
Yeah, and they got the Giants, then they got the Washington football team again with Arizona sprinkled in there and Philly at the end. So they have three should be wins. You can't count any team out any given Sunday, but three games that you should win and handle business, and then a game that should be a good game against Arizona. Need to be a get right game against New York. We have the Cowboys who have been struggling ever since the Atlanta game. Dak has had a good game against the Las Vegas Raiders and a loss, but he hasn't looked the same since his calf injury. He just seems to be pressing. He seems to be just not himself out there. And, with a team like the Giants coming in with a backup quarterback, since Daniel Jones is out for the foreseeable future, and Saquon Barkley not, being up to speed, not as fully healthy as he used to be, a team that's hampered by injury and just isn't a very good team right now. They're rebuilding. You got to dominate this game, and you got to get some confidence going into another game against Washington. There's a tough team. I mean, they just played as tough. They beat some good teams. And then you have the Arizona Cardinals and then, of course, the Eagles. But you have to take care of this game, and you have to get some confidence moving forward if you're the Cowboys.
Well, on paper, it's a get-right game. But also, it could be a trap game. It could be a complete trap game because, you don't know exactly what's going on. How are you, man? Hope you're doing well.
Talking with KPG. Of course, Coach G Wright, thank you for subscribing and tuning in. And please go subscribe to Talking with KPG. Great show. Going to be on there later tonight. Hopkins is out for the regular season too, and Murray not healthy. The stars are lining up for us. Yeah, I can agree with that. We just got to handle our business. And as far as that goes, it's they have injuries, but they're still, if you have Kyler Murray out, Murray's not healthy, but he might be able to get in and be starting for that game and play that game. And it would be a tough game. As long as he's out there, he's hard to stop. That team's definitely not an easy win, especially that's the hardest win in our schedule. And, I believe the Rams have the Lions no, the Rams don't have the Lions. The Buccaneers, the Buccaneers, the Rams, the Packers are the Lions again, but these guys have some easy wins too that we're fighting for the number one seed with. So it's going to be hard. But Kev, if since you're a New York fan, like we are New York, we're both Yankees and Knicks, of course, but you like your New York football. Give me some keys to victory for the Giants before we get into the Cowboys. You know, do they give Saquon Barkley more burn? Do they trust that he's healthy again? Do they ride him to victory, or do they spread it out with Galladay and Kadarius Toney? What are you looking at for your Giants this week?
Well, they're challenged offensively. And it sounds funny because they have such a plethora of talent on the wide receivers, and you know, it just hasn't really, really hit back. But if the Giants, if they play time of possession, short pass, utilize Saquon Barkley off the backfield, short pass, screens, and nothing too crazy, and use the Toney as a decoy for spreading the ball with Galladay, then you look have the key to victory. But I think here what comes down to, Toney is out. Yeah, correct. Toney is out. He's out. That's
so hard to keep up with all the injuries in this
COVID. It's COVID and injuries, and plus I'm right now knee deep in New York basketball, not much football. That's why we left it on this channel. I'm not into the football too much, but to go back to the keys, be careful with the New York Giants defense. I know they stink so far earlier part, but they have names there. You know, Derrick Jackson. They got. You know, they have a lot of guys that are starting to come into their stride and starting to mesh a little. You know, guys are going to be playing for their career, for their contracts and staying on a team or for next year. And I think that's where it's going to be dangerous on the New York Giants, their defense. I know that. And if right now Dak isn't really so hot, he's in a little bit of a slump, by Jerry Jones' words, a little bit of a slump kind of. Be careful for if the Giants defense come up and be what wins the game. You know, if it's on the heels of the offense, personally as a Giant fan, what I see out there, only scoring 7 points, 10 points, you know, not high powered. And that's the only way I can see the keys of victory for the New Giants. Could capitalize on turnovers, getting the ball over and getting some defensive scores, and then just sprinkle. So it's a division game, like you said. And division games are always tough. You can never – they're never cakewalks. They're always something close. But I don't know. I don't think the Giants are totally out of it. They're still in the hunt. They're talking a good game. Like, they're you know, they're still alive. They want to – you know, they're professionals. They never count a team out. But, man, the uphill climb on the New York Giants this year, it's – they put themselves too much behind of an eight ball. I think they can't climb out of it. But we shall see. Divisional rival, the stadium is going to be full of Cowboy fans. They're talking about Giants selling their tickets to allow the fans in there, and it's going to be a sea of Cowboy Nation, unfortunately. Rightfully so, because the Giants deserve this for their bad moves and their inept drafting and so forth. But we could leave that for another discussion for another day. But the keys for the victory is that defense, special teams.
Yep. And play hungry, you know, for the Giants. If I'm a Giants fan, you know, you got Mike Glennon out there. It's not Daniel Jones. It's not your starter, but he's been a backup for a long time, and he's playing for another job. You know, a backup quarterback, when you get a chance, you're always putting its things out there to get another job. And if he can get to the point where, you know, he can have a couple of good throws. Evan Ingram, he's got drop issues, but he's talented. You know, Kenny Galladay, same thing, but very talented. Against Anthony Brown, they could try to exploit him. They could try to exploit some things and try to get them in big physical guys in one-on-one situations. But you got to run Saquon. Saquon's not running like he used to. You know, I don't think he's afraid of. In my opinion, it looks like he's afraid of getting hurt again. Just the way he runs, he doesn't try to run people over. He tries to go east and west and not north and south. And he has such a dangerous, like, his legs and just the sheer, like, shape he's in and how strong his legs are and how strong his base is, he could run some people over and have a workhorse type, like a Zeke type of workload for them. But again, the line's got a block for him. They got a lot of problems, but I'll take the Cowboys' keys to victory for them. I think you gotta just go back to basics in a game like this, especially with Dak struggling. You gotta run the football. You gotta get Zeke and involved. You got to get Corey Clement involved, since Tony Pollard's out probably again. He was a game time decision last week, so he's probably not going to play this week. Do it with that foot issue. You got to establish running game. I know Zeke's hurt with a knee, but get Corey Clement out there. You got to have the threat of play action. And with Dak Prescott, when he's the most deadly, in my opinion, is when it's off of play action with a solid running game and that line blocking for him and control time of possession. You know, keep them off the field, keep their defense on the field, tire them out. Since their defense is the Giants' strength, you got to tire them out and wear them down for four quarters. And if you get a big lead like you did against Washington, up 23-2 or up three scores at halftime, you got to keep your foot on the throat. I get they're a lesser team, but you got to keep your foot on the throat. You can't just, you know, let them get back into it, because they're every NFL team's dangerous, Kev. It's any given Sunday. You let them get any hope, and they could easily come out with a win. Mike Glennon's won games as a starter before. You know, it's not like he doesn't know how to play the game. I'm worried about this game. I'm worried about it being a trap game. But
it could be. Just to let you know, Saquon Barkley did not practice today. He's questionable for the game against the Cowboys. Grant Gonon also due to illness, didn't practice. Leonard Williams came up on the injury report with a tricep. Andrew Thomas with his ankle. So my God, the plethora of players. Adoree Jackson with a quad, didn't practice. So all these are game time decisions. You know, yep. Austin Johnson, the defensive lineman, didn't practice either. Has a foot issue. Of course, we know about Daniel Jones' neck. I think his career as a New York Giant is over. Personally, because I don't think they'll bring him back for the fifth year. I think they're going to cut ties, and it's going to be Mike Glennon and maybe Jake Fromm going forward.
Yep, and a couple of key guys that are out is Cedric Wilson, who's out. He's been a really good, you know, the fourth receiver on this team. He's had his moments. He's a very good receiver for us. Tyron Smith is out for the Cowboys for this game, and Tony Pollard's questionable. Donovan Wilson, of course, is on injured reserve. But, in the games where we don't have Tyron Smith, this team really struggles. Because Terrence Steele, who was the backup left tackle last year, really struggled horribly. And this year he did amazing from the right side, filling in for Lyle Collins. But when Lyle Collins came back, they tried to move Terrence Steele to left tackle, and it wasn't pretty. So look for it, you know. Are we going to have Ty Nsekhe out there? Because he didn't look as great as well. And with a quarterback that was hurt, bad leg injury in Dak Prescott, it's got to be in his head. I don't care who you are. If you're an athlete and you play this game and you come off an injury like that, it's going to be in your head. And when you have Tyron Smith, a guy you can trust protecting your blind side, I don't know about the other guys. So that look for that to have a huge impact. Cedric Wilson being out, he's always good for a couple of big plays a game. It's a lot of injuries on both sides, of course, but that's football, right? It doesn't matter who's hurt. You got to come out and try to win the game, and anybody's dangerous.
And also an updated on the COVID reserve list. You got Xavier McKinney for the Giants, Aaron Robinson, Cam Brown, and of course, Tony were all on the COVID list. So also COVID is ramping rage in all professional sports right now.
Yeah, especially in cities like New York, you know, a lot of people, a lot of traffic, and it's just it's really bad. But you know, it is what it is. We gotta. I want to see Terrence Steele get another shot at left tackle as well, because I mean, Tyron Smith. I love Tyron Smith. I want him to be on this team for the foreseeable future and be our starter. But he's getting up there in years, and he's getting up there in injuries. A lot of mileage on that body. You want to start looking at contingency plans for the future. And it's, as G says, Washington has 10 players out with COVID, so it's everywhere. But when it comes to, you know, all these, when it comes to Tyron Smith getting up there, he's a Hall of Fame talent, in my opinion, but you got to have someone to replace him. And Terrence Steele looks so good on the right side. It's like, you got to give him another chance, because it's only a matter of time before he becomes a starting left tackle in this league. He's young, affordable. Yeah, as far as that's our keys on offense, to control the time of possession and all that for the Cowboys. But for defense, we can't get beat on big plays, on double moves. We have to play sound defense. We can't rely on just getting a turnover. We got to stop Saquon Barkley, stop the run, fly to the football. Micah Parsons is going to have another huge game. And the defense is looking better, Kev, now that DeMarcus Lawrence is back healthy, now that Neville Gallimore's back, along with Micah Parsons, along with Randy Gregory. This defense looks nasty compared to almost worst NFL defense in NFL history last year when they were breaking records. As I bring Chef Dan in here with that god-awful background. What's going on, Chef Dan? Welcome to the program.
Regardless of what the record is, I have to support my team through and through. You know as well as anyone having to support your team through whatever record is present at the time. Salute to you, Jedi. Salute to you, Zach. Salute to everyone in the chat. I hope everyone's doing well, but yeah, let's get on with the two and a head. That's what you got to give me, right?
No, I'll let the Cowboys do that Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, when you go, we were talking about keys of victory, just to kind of key up. Kev brought some good points with the Giants. You're out with a lot of injuries, but it's a team that still technically has a chance in the playoffs. You got guys with like Mike Glennon who are still fighting for their next job. You got guys like Kenny Golladay and Evan Engram who have their problems with drops, but can also make good plays, and you can exploit mismatches against an Anthony Brown or get those physical guys on one-on-one coverage, and their defense, play good defense. You know, Dak hasn't been playing his best. So you guys have a chance to win this game. And for my Cowboys, I said that, you know, control time of possession, get back to basics, run the football, play action off of that, and just control the game. And if you get up big at halftime, keep your foot on the throat. Don't underestimate this team like they did against Washington.
I agree with you 100%, Zach. Oddly enough, this is one of the games that as dominant as the Dallas's defense has been all this year. I think this is a game where you win it through your offense. You have to control time of possession through your offense. Dak has to stay on the field. So a lot of third downs have to be converted for the Cowboys. Another thing I would say is as far as the defense, when they're attacking the Giants offense, it like what's right there in front of you, take it. These guys aren't presenting anything, any trickery. Like, we just got rid of our offensive coordinator in the middle of the season. So there is a lot of uncertainty as far as what the game plan is week to week. And with that, it's like what the defense is presenting you, take it right there. Don't try and extend too much and give the offense a chance to win the game. This, I truly feel, is a game where your offense dictates the victory.
Yeah, and a good question from, of course, Chef Dan, if you want to get some football fix, you got anything to do later, go 8 o'clock, go through Talking with KPG, go subscribe. Great friends of mine. There's a Cowboys fan, a Falcons fan, and another Cowboys fan. So, but they bring, you know, people on, good content. Go subscribe to them if you get a chance. And, of course, everybody listening. But he brought up a good question. Do you sit your running backs for the Cowboys? Zeke Elliott has been dealing with a knee. He's been effective in minimal carries, but, you know, with the offensive line injuries and issues running with run blocking, Zeke being a little hurt, do you bring up someone from the practice squad to go along with Corey Clement, who's our third stringer since Tony Pollard is questionable? And you sit these guys and you try to give Dak a game where it's like, okay, go out and win it for us. Get right, you know, and put that pressure on him. Or do you do what you should do and run the ball with Zeke and control time of possession and risk an injury? And Kev, you know, both of you guys take that question.
Go ahead, Chef. I'll go after
Me personally, any other time I would tell you, like, don't do that. Get the running backs out there. But for the Giants right now, the Giants can't generate a pass rush. So that means Dak is going to be comfortable in the pocket. If he's comfortable in the pocket, I believe Dak can do enough to kind of dissect this Giants defense, enough keep him on the field, score enough points, and control time of possession. I'm also noticing not to just copy the league is a copycat league, but in essence, you have a lot of teams right now. A lot of star players are getting hurt, so they're resting them for the rest of the season, also because they have a comfortable lead with their record so far. I know you guys are in the last couple of games, you're 3-3 in the last six games, but the end of your schedule is easing out. I believe you just have the NFC East all at their home teams, and all these teams.
And we have Arizona, too.
Arizona, that's going to be the hardest matchup in remaining on your schedule. But as far as for this matchup right here, I'm okay with sitting Zeke. If Tony Pollard is questionable but ready to go, I'm limiting his snaps, but we're still going to do a run-heavy game. because I believe the offensive line can, the offensive line for the Cowboys can at least create enough gaps for any running back that you guys have, be it first string, second string, or pack practice squad, to at least make enough of a dent.
Yeah, and Kev, you got anything to add about that?
Yeah, I was going to say you got to run the football, although it's going to be 41-degree weather in New York. It's going to be pretty warm for that time of year, if you ask me. You know, it's but the only thing is, the night before it's going to rain all day Saturday. I was just looking at the weather forecast. Granted, I am in Orlando, Florida, so I just had to cheat on that and look at that. Weather could change, but it says going to rain all day. One thing that worries me about let's be honest, that's where both of my New York teams football plays. That's a terrible field.
Yes, that's the
and
other
a
thing.
Lot of injuries, a lot of injuries with the wide receiver in the wide receiver. And you guys have a really good wide receiver core. Maybe you do bring up that running your running back. You have a pretty good offensive line. Maybe you want to do short passes with your, you know, from the backfield. I think that's the same plan the Giants are going to do, to be honest with you. And man, but this is why you bring you draft the way you draft, and from where you play at and what division you play in and what time of the year. So I think they're going to be, to make a long story short, I think they're going to be a run heavy team with sprinkling in some play action with Dak going forward in this game Sunday.
And if they do that, I honestly think they're going to be fine. But the thing is, too, you got to think about that field with receivers and cutting and all that. Saquon Barkley and Zeke Elliott, you know, injury issues. Zeke's having a knee right now. That might not be, I don't know. It's kind of a, darned if you don't type deal.
This isn't a darned if you do, darned if you don't. Truthfully, where I see you guys kind of generating a lot of the looks is, Kellen Moore's been doing it a lot. The bubble screens, he's been doing it all year. The bubble screens and things of that nature. Any other field, I would tell you, if you want to attack downfield, go ahead. But for MetLife Stadium, for the love of God, they have to get that field fixed. Last year, the whole 49ers group got injured on that field, and they ended up making a complaint about it to the league. The league, you know, kind of, they said, hey, it wasn't, you know, like they maliciously did anything to the field, but Jesus Christ, everyone gets hurt on that field. Yeah. Safest game plan for you guys, bubble screens, running game, control time of possession, get out of that stadium football is a high contact sport, but please don't let that field take you guys out.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. That's another thing where I'm talking about, like when I talk to other Cowboys fans that are like, oh, this is a win, or this is, you know, we're good. You can't underestimate any team. It's any team, any given Sunday. All of a sudden something happens to Dak, or something happens to CD or Zeke on that field. Like you said, it wiped out a lot of San Francisco. So it could wipe out a lot of the Cowboys. And then you're done, not just for this week, you're done for the rest of the year. If something happens to Dak Prescott, you're done for the rest of the year if something happens to Zeke Elliott. You know, it's tough, but that's part of the game. It's a violent sport, like you said. It's a contact sport. You don't go into any week thinking you're not going to get injured. It's almost not a matter if, it's when. You just gotta be play with confidence, and I think they'll be all right. But as we see the ticker going across the screen, I haven't talked to you about football in a while, Chef Dan, and of course Kev. What do you guys feel about the Giants right now? Where your future's heading? I'll give you the floor since we pretty much recapped the game for a few minutes. I'll give you the floor to talk about where you guys want to go, and maybe we can talk about some draft situation from Michigan and some guys I know that could help you along those lines.
I'm gonna start this off. Before you give me any solutions, I gotta spew the venom right out, and this is something I've been holding on the inside, like. I just saw the cap increase that we're supposed to get. All teams are supposed to get for the NFL. Beautiful number. I believe a $25 million raise on the cap, I believe, right?
Imagine what the year after is going to be after we really recover from the COVID.
Exactly. I understand that. Here's the problem, though. Even with the $25 million increase, the Giants only have $3 million worth of cap space with that increase. At this point, I'm done with Dave Gettleman. Get him out of here, right? I'm completely done with him. I don't care where he goes after this. I really don't, right? Now, I've heard that they want to keep Joe Judge, so it's going to be right back to the same old. You fire the GM, but you keep the coach until you don't want the coach no more. And, hey, maybe it changes, maybe it doesn't. And Joe Judge showed some impressive things during his first year. But he started off the second year all wrong for me. And it wasn't like, I know a lot of people had complaints about, hey, we kept Jason Garrett when we weren't supposed to, things of that nature. I can't speculate on any of that, right? As far as like,
calm down. We kept him 10 years.
Zach, we got rid of him sooner, but still, look where we at right now.
Sorry, I didn't say that.
I know. Y'all went through worse. Look, I give you your respect. But
I need therapy.
Yeah, you're not the only one. You see the banner behind me. You see what I'm wearing. I need therapy. But yeah, the issue that I had with Joe Judge from the beginning of this season, which is why I believe he had a sophomore slump. I know the year is completely gone to waste in as far as like, you know, what the aspirations are, and we can only look forward to the draft picks that we have. The only thing that was smart last year, as far as after the free agent signings, was during the draft, fleecing the Bears out of that draft pick. That was a beautiful move right there. I can't argue with that. But other than that, Kadarius Toney he's been a great product for us. But when he's been on the field,
right?
But here was my issue with Joe Judge in the beginning of the season, and which is why I just had to get this out, and then from where I can look forward to with this team. You had the ending of the year that you had. Everything as far as trajectory was going up. And I know one year you have to separate last year, this year is this year. But as to why you didn't use that momentum from last year, bring it into this year and help this team get an all new focus, it boggles me. And everyone, you know, I've heard some fans say, well, hey, maybe he did do that, things of that nature. He didn't do that, because in the beginning of the year, what he decided to say was the first couple of games of the regular season were like preseason. Do you mean to tell me you couldn't get the team ready by the time preseason was finished? Because we hired you guys to, when you told us on the stand that, hey, on the press conference for when you got hired, that you're going to get these guys ready, things of that nature. Every other team in the league has the same amount of preseason games to get right. Every other team in the league has the same amount of training camp to get right. You couldn't get it done right. You couldn't get it right in the same amount of time that everyone else did. You failed on that end. Mm-hmm. And then you proceeded to have the first couple of games that matter. All games in a 17-game season that matter. You make the first couple of games essentially not matter. So now you're right back to letting other teams dictate how your season goes. If you win, you have to hope that another team loses in order for you to win. It's all about controlling your destiny. Mm-hmm. And this team has not had the ability to do so. But worse off than that, I feel like you had the opportunity to instill some of these core values in what you want for you to control your own destiny. And he didn't do that. He failed from the start. So that's my biggest issue with Joe Judge.
Of course. Now, and Kev, go ahead. I have your theory starting to make sense to me. And I want you to reveal your hot take that you gave to me over the phone about a certain coach in a certain level that might be moving up a bit. There might be a reason they kept the coach around until they figure out who the front office executive is going to be, because the next coach might do both.
Right. But I want to touch something on with.
Of course. I just wanted to say, get that out there.
I agree with you with that, but I'm not putting the blame on Dave. I'm not putting the blame on Joe Judge. Neither could Dave Gettleman. I'm going to say, what? Are you crazy? I'm blaming the directors of scout. You can't have your son, okay, in there. Charles Tisch, okay, as much as, you know, as much I got my son Austin here and he's part of the network and the channel, but I got to be realistic. If he's out there not doing a good program, and this is just amateur stuff right now, content. If he's out there and he's not giving me good MMA program, I got to be realistic. Say, you know, son, I love you and all, but let's work on something different. They cannot scout right. All their picks, you know, they've been trying to help and get them and trying to get. And Gettleman has to rely on his men. Like, for instance, I rely on you. When I go to sleep and I leave you guys on to talk about MMA. I trust you guys. I trust that you guys have your knowledge. You're prepared. You do your work, and you guys do a great job. Now, I know it's two different apples and oranges. I understand that. But hear me out with the analysis. He's trusting his scouting department, the guys that are out there checking the film, watching these kids play. And let's face it, nobody that they scouted other than OJ Assembly has really worked out in this draft. You know, Andrew Thomas, can he stay healthy? You know, all the draft picks that they've been, you know, we could sit here and go over the draft, because he's on Gettleman's draft. He's going to say he whiffed on Daniel Jones. But guess what? Did you guys want Dwayne Haskins? Because that's what everybody, I remember all the Giants fans, get me Dwayne Haskins. Sometimes we can't listen to the fan base sometimes, because you end up picking the wrong players. And I'm saying Daniel Jones isn't a home run neither. I don't think he'll be here next year neither. So I think they have to really bring in a guy. And now we're ready to the segment. We need to bring a guy who's going to bring, who has the moxie. Gettleman is going to retire, my opinion. I think they're not going to fire him. They're going to tell him, we don't want to embarrass you. You're older fella. You know, you were here in the golden days. The Maras and the Tish are supposedly one of the world-class organizations that are going to embarrass and say, you're fired, you're gone. They're just going to tell them, let's say we retire, mutually agree. I think Gettleman is out. I think they're going to need a general manager. Judge is 50-50 because they don't know who the heck is going to be the GM, if they're going to hire within or they're going to bring from the outside. Now, it brings us to our next point. I think the New York Giants should take $2 million, all right, that extra money that they get from the PSL, that they make, you know, fans, and salute to you Giants fans that pay for that PSO nonsense and go and support the team. Hey, if I had the money too, I'm a sheep going there, because I pay the Sunday ticket, so I'm part of that. My point is, take that $2 million, go to the University of Michigan, Mr. Harbaugh, build us this program, build us a winning, bring us back to football, not New York Giants football, because it's time to change and evolve. And I understand what bring us to. The new football defense, hard nose. We play in the northeastern conundrum of the country. Give us this kind of football, because you're successful in this part of the country, in the northeast section of the United States. We need you to come here, build some program. You have we got now pick three, if I'm not mistaken, you know, four, five, and six, somewhere around there. I could be wrong. We have draft pick this season. Go and you got some players on your team that, my God, studs. Aiden Hutchinson, you know, you would Ajako, am I right, correct?
Aiden Hutchinson and David Ajabo.
David Ajabo. See, guys, I'm from Michigan. He's trying to convince me as a Michigan fan here.
He is. So, he's a Michigan fan now, strapped in.
So the point is,
he's converted. I see him. He's converted, truly.
The point is, there's some good players. And also this, because I'm watching it with my eyes. You know, and if you got more draft picks, maybe in the sixth, seventh round, or even a five round, Michigan's kicker, phenomenal freaking kicker. Jake, you know, the punter. I'm gushing over the freaking punter. That's how much I'm trying to get. He's freaking controlling the time of possession, the field, you know, the cutting the field. And the point is, there's good college players. And that's just Michigan. So he knows the Big Ten with Ohio State players as well, you know, and knows the college recruiting, the guys that are coming up. And if you have a lot of draft that capital the New York Giants have right now, I think it's the time to change to bring in a program builder in Harbaugh and let him build it. And if he doesn't work, and you know what, if he overstays his welcome, you already got a foundation in place with good players, a good draft pick, and you make the change there, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
If I may, before Chef Dan, before you chime in, just to give a little bit more background, Jim Harbaugh, of course, I got to try to be objective. I'm a huge Michigan fan. Okay. It's tough as we bring in G, but there's G. As we bring in G, but let I'll make this point about Jim Harbaugh. I try to be as objective as humanly possible, because I don't want him to leave. He built Michigan to what it is now, but he's done it with Stanford. Okay, he came in and brought a team that's not a football program to prominence. I mean, they had Andrew Luck. They had a good team. They were highly ranked, and he goes to San Francisco. And goes all the way to the Super Bowl, multiple NFC championship games, you know, built them from the ashes. There's a theme here. Brings teams from the ashes. Then he goes to Michigan, the winningest program in college football history, also the biggest disappointment in college football history for a long time for me. And he people thought he overstayed his welcome, but he kept giving him chances. And I'm like, why? You know, and it's just me being blind by being a depressed Michigan fan. It takes time to build a program. If you give Jim Harbaugh time, he would build that Giants team. Because it's not just the bit. He knows linemen. G knows this. Out of all linemen we have, linemen come from Wisconsin and Michigan and Penn State. Great linemen in this league. Defensive and offensive. Linebackers. It's defensive backs. All defensive players. Running backs. Wide receivers, you want to go SEC. But most of the time, Big Ten has great pros from those positions. Stop me if those are not your needs at the Giants. And he knows every single one of them because he's coached against them, game planned against them, recruited them. I mean, what better guy to control a team? You know, Chef?
I'm not against it at all. Also, because like you said, our needs are not anywhere near a free agency. Our needs are all in the draft. We can't touch free agency, actually. As far as the Giants cannot touch any free agency because we're capped out. And even with the increase, we're still going to be capped out. So it stays all in the draft. I'm not opposed to that. I'm really not. At this point right now, I'm not opposed to any idea. Shoot, if Ozzie Newsom wanted to come back and start, you know, like, hey, I want to step back in real quick, I'd let him. I'm with it all. I'm whoo. Because just before, like, I know you guys said something earlier that kind of it turned up my antenna because I've been seeing this all throughout the internet, and this is something that bothers me. I'm okay if you want to keep Judge, because Judge overall, I know this year has been bad, but last year he showed he has at least a way of going about things. My issue is if you think he truly is Bill Belichick and you want him to grab the groceries as well.
No, he doesn't have the experience.
Mm-mm. He does not have the experience, right?
It's just another failed coach from the Belichick tree. Is what it is. He's a good coordinator, special teams coach, whatever the hell he was. But that's about all. He's going to go back to New England here soon.
Okay, you're thinking he's going to go. Although they said his job is safe, but
maybe give him a few more years and see.
I think he's going to have one more year, to be honest. I know. But then you're going back in this hamster wheel of circles. You bring
this
in a GM.
What I'm saying.
You bring a GM, and then you're going to have a GM hire another coach, and then you're back again. Now I think, to be honest with you, you pull the plug, you bring in Harbaugh, you might have to go a year on with a stopgap quarterback, because I don't think
here's the crazy part. I would pick up that fifth option, let him be a free agent, and let him walk out. I'd let Daniel Jones be the stopgap quarterback. He's already been in the building. There's no one on the free market that I can afford. I can't afford a quarterback.
Well, there's always a will in the NFL when it comes with you've seen the Rams stack. They're stacking. They still keep bringing in and out players. There's ways, great way, restructuring contract, pay cuts, you know, and signing bonus and all that good stuff. So.
I could understand that, but I'm sorry for cutting you off. I just want to say this last thing. It's just, I know this year coming up, the GM that comes in, he can't do that because his primary objective for this year is fixing the books.
Right.
Before you try and buy anything, you got to get your wallet straight first. You got to see what you have at home first before you worry about, you know, trying to get something outside. And that's what he has to do first. He has to organize the fridge and make sure everything's right in there.
Right. So G, you want to get in here on this Harbaugh, a little bit of an objective look for Giants fans, and then we'll maybe talk about the future of our Cowboys for a little bit for the rest of this season.
Appreciate y'all having me on, man. Yep. I actually like the Harbaugh. You know, I haven't thought about that, but I actually like the Harbaugh pickup if that would go, man. I think it works well. Like my man was saying, like Chef was saying, he would have to rebuild everything all together in the draft. I think you can bring in a Ryan Fitzpatrick to play quarterback for a year. You know, get rid of Daniel Jones. I think you might have to get rid of Saquon. Get rid of that money as well. Mm-hmm. That'll start building in the draft, you know. I think Harbaugh can build a team.
Especially with all the draft capital. I mean, they got to go after all of Harbaugh's guys from Michigan and just have another go at it in the pros. But now Chef Dan, I'll start with G and then I'll go to Kevin, Chef Dan. Be objective for us now, Chef Dan and Kev. What do you guys see the future of the Cowboys. Well, since they're a contending team, we'll say this season, just for the rest of this year, how do you guys see it playing out? I'll say for me, it's just going to be, you know, we'll see in the divisional round. I think they'll end up getting the third or fourth seed in the playoffs. I think they'll get an easier matchup as far as one of the wild card teams. And I think they're going to win one game at home, the wild card. And I think we'll see in the divisional round.
I actually see us getting the second seed. I see Green Bay getting the first seed. I see us getting the second seed and playing a team like the 49ers or the Washington football team or the New Orleans Saints or all the other 6 and 7 teams that's in that clutter of 6 and 7 teams. I think Green Bay is the best team in the conference. I think Arizona's going to slide. After watching the game last night, Monday night, Kyler Murray's not healthy, man. And without DeAndre Hopkins, Mr. Catch Everything, it's going to be a struggle for them to put points up. So, and that defense is not what it was in the beginning of the season. So it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. I think they play. They have a tough schedule going out. You know, I think they play divisionals. San Francisco's not an easy out in that division anymore. And of course, they got Seattle. That's probably an easy win because I think everybody's calling it quits out there. But I see them sliding. I see the Rams kind of picking up. I think they're going to actually piggyback off that win they just had, man, and kind of roll some off. So I see us getting that second seed.
Okay. Kev, what do you think of my Cowboys?
I kind of want to give the agree with you a second seed. But I think they're gonna fall the third seed. I think they're gonna lose a game that they're not supposed to lose, the Cowboys for some reason. And you know, and I'm not trying to be a Cowboy hater. It's just their recent history and right now Dak is playing, you know, in a little bit of a slump, minor slump, but he got the get right game with the Giants. Perfect timing for him to get right, but he's gonna hiccup a game that he shouldn't. You know, Washington, you know, football team, that's a good team. You know, that's a pretty good team, you know, surprisingly. And even the nasty Eagles, they could be a surprising team. I hate to say it, but you know, although the Giants, they didn't look so hot against the Giants neither. But they're alive. And maybe they lose that game. I see them getting into the division round, second round of the, and I hate to say it. I think they fail there. I think that their ride goes there. Now, it's going to be a close game. Don't get me wrong. I think they'll end up playing the Rams in SoFi, and I think they just fall. I don't believe in the Rams or Arizona. So it all depends if Dak could get himself right and how they look, and especially if they get home field. If that's in Jerry's world, I can see the it's a lot of ifs. I can see them going to the NFC title game, and I don't see them going to the Super Bowl, though. They're not a Super Bowl team.
Does this – defense remind you of that New York Giants defense that got hot at the end of the season when they went to the Super Bowl?
They're getting hot, but no, because they don't have enough pass rushers there. They have the number one pass rusher in the country, but they don't have multiple complementary to really, really strongly get back at the quarterback the way the Giants did.
DeMarcus Lawrence is an all pro when he's healthy, and he just came back last week and had a sack.
That's when he's healthy.
Yeah, but see, I'm saying, you know, if he gets hot at the right time, you know what I mean? He could have a chance, but he's definitely not Michael Strahan. But
there's time. There's time for improvement, though. There's time to make it wrong. There's a lot of games. There's four or five games left that I could be, you know, in 3 weeks
from
now to say.
They could make the Super Bowl.
Anyone can.
Yeah, anyone can. And just to piggyback off of what Kev was saying, I don't think they're going to lose a game that they're supposed to. It's just that in the playoffs, I think, all right, I'm looking at it right now. I agree with G 100%. I don't believe in the Cardinals. I think they're going to slide. We already have DeAndre Hopkins. It looks like he's out for the rest of the season. Yeah. And when Kyler Murray didn't have DeAndre Hopkins, he was the middle of, you know, his team was a middle of the pack team. So I can completely agree that the Cardinals are going to slide. The Dallas Cowboys, I believe you guys are going to finish out strong regardless of what Dak's play is. Mm. But coming into the playoffs, yeah, you guys have two big issues. It's Dak, and I think it's not the defensive front end; it's the back end. honestly, to me, the back end's a little suspect to me. I think after Trayvon Diggs came off the seven, the hot interception route run that he was having off, your back end was starting to look kind of suspicious, you know, just kind of be susceptible to certain things. I noticed that you guys were getting hit with penalties that were, you know, it was sloppy play that was pretty bad. And that had, like, you know, rewatching the tape, you would think that maybe the refs kind of were iffy. No, all of those were bad defensive pass interference. So it's all about, you know, can your cornerbacks play well enough to let, you know, if your cornerbacks are just doing the right enough things to let your front get pressure, because you guys can get pressure. I believe you guys can do it. Like the defense can do enough to give you guys a fighting chance. The issue on the other side is Dak's play. I think the issue that I'm seeing with Dak is he doesn't want to run. And when you're eliminating the possibility of Dak's legs, like, I don't know what else to say. You're taking away a weapon. You're just taking away a weapon, and you want all weapons available come that time in the playoffs. So it's not matchup dependent to me. You guys in the playoffs, can you overcome your own selves as far as can you guys be solid and you know, just be right there in the middle? Just right. don't come out of these edges, come right there, play sound football. And can you guys can Dak overcome himself right now? Is he willing to take that risk of running out the pocket, taking a hit if need be, but, you know, sliding down, taking certain hits?
Yeah, well, and I'll let G go after this. As far as the defense goes, like, I understand he brought up the Giants thing, and I don't think he meant just talent-wise. I think just the ability just to rush with four people. And when you have – obviously, there's – Michael Strahan is not on this team. I think Micah Parsons is not comparable. Even though he's great and he's going to be an all-time great, he's just a different type of great. Mm-hmm. He's more a Lawrence Taylor, being able to be a linebacker and a, you know, not saying that's what he is, you know what I mean? But
no, yeah, it's just the ability right. to be a hybrid.
And right. just to break down kind of what you all just said there, because that was a lot to take in. Micah Parsons is a stud. There's never been anybody like him as far as a rookie. DeMarcus Lawrence coming back healthy. He looked really good, G. Correct me if I'm wrong. He looked really good. He's always good at stopping the run and rushing the pass. Few defensive end edge rushers in this league can stop the run and the pass. It's either one or the other. You have Leighton Van Der Esch is coming into his own. You have, you know, of course, Micah Parsons. And, you know, Keanu Neal's coming back, and he can hit certain things. And do certain things as far as he's moved to that nickel linebacker-ish, you know, in a nickel set. He's more of the extra a linebacker that can also cover tight ends. You have Anthony Brown has played well since that Raiders game. He has played well. He's gotten some turnovers. Trevon Diggs still has gotten some turnovers, but they're playing more disciplined football. That's why he hasn't gotten as many turnovers. He's not biting on double moves every time. He's not trying to jump the slant every time. He's come back down to earth a little bit, but in a good way. You know, you got DeMonte Kazee, who's playing extremely good football. Jayron Kearse playing extremely good football. Donovan Wilson's out, but that, you know, Malik Hooker has stepped up like I've been calling for. Malik Hooker was a really good, soon to be all pro player for the Colts guys before that Achilles injury. And he's played well for us. He's going to get more snaps. The defense is going to come into its own as it has, because it's been winning us games. It's been winning us games. And Dak, I don't know if it's something to do with the calf. I don't know what it is. I don't know, because he has ran in a few games recently, a scramble here and there. He was never really a runner like that in the pros. He's been a good game manager to start his career, and now he is what he is. I think eventually we will get to the point where Dak's all right. We just got to get, because we haven't had these three receivers. Four with Cedric Wilson now, because Cedric Wilson, G, has become a star in his own right in Dallas. Not a pro bowler, but he's a star for us, fan favorite. We all four of those guys on the field, being able to alternate, all the trick plays, bubble screens for Kellen Moore that comes from that, getting all the guys on the field healthy at once, Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins. You know, Zach Martin got an injury last game. You know, Connor McGovern switching from Connor Williams. I like that move. You know, Tyler Biadasz is coming into his own. This team has just got a lot of moving parts. And when you I don't think the moving parts are going to come together just yet this season. That's why, you know, I'm pessimistic. I think divisional round, we'll see what happens. But if those moving parts all come together and we play as one and we get the right hot at the right time, healthy at the right time, chemistry at the right time, this is a Super Bowl team. They are a Super Bowl team if they get it right. Your thoughts?
I think we have a Super Bowl defense. And one player that you left out, and is Randy Gregory.
Yeah.
Who was playing at an all-pro level before he injured his calf.
There's so many edge rushers and rushers.
And
Neville Gallimore, Tristan Hill. Rusher,
and then we got back Neville Gallimore last week, who you saw he took out the center and Heinicke last week with one bull rush.
Yeah.
So we are getting healthy on defense. And like you said, Jerron Kearse, he's able to, which was a weakness for us for years and years, guarding the tight end. Jerron Kearse has been that guy.
And a safety that can tackle. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's so great.
So I believe we have a championship defense. And like you said, our offense is struggling. The carousel and offensive line is killing us. We have no continuity on offense at all. Like you said, our receivers have been out. So it's going to take a little time for them to get everything back together, but I think they will. I heard something today that Michael Parsons has better stats right now than Khalil Mack had when he won DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Has better stats than he had.
Just through midway through the season.
Yeah.
Let's take it back to there. He was the first player in NFL history, not a rookie, like you corrected me on our stream, not a rookie, history of the NFL, to have over 50 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, and 5 sacks.
He's a
one of one. He's a freak. He's got Randy Moss.
Yard
dash time. He's got size. He's 250 pounds. I mean, he can literally do anything on this field. He'll wait till he figures out how to cover a tight end. His speed and his fundamentals and all that. Man,
the crazy part with Micah Parsons is like,
real quick, a quote from Micah this week. He said, "I don't think the NFL's that hard." So he's got a quiet, humble cockiness about him.
Yeah.
From my 717 area code, I love that kid, man. Yeah. I love everything about him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think Chef
the beautiful. Yeah, just the beautiful thing about Micah Parsons, the specimen. I just watching him. When you really watch him, like it's a work of art the way his body moves. He's so powerful, yet at the same time, he's got a nice compactness. Penn State, not for nothing, man. Saquon and Mark Micah, like they really like had some genetic freaks over at Penn State. These two guys are really genetic freaks. Like I watch Micah Parsons, I go, yo, like he's slim enough to kind of slide through the tackles, but if not, he's powerful enough to make a gaping hole through them and get to where he wants to. Like that type of agileness, the beautiful mix of just agility, speed, and power.
Mm-hmm.
That it's rare you find that in an edge rusher who's coming off balance. And like I said, the fundamentals aren't all the way there yet. And when they get there to a point where he's not, you know, the one thing that kind of sticks out to me is that first game y'all had against the Buccaneers when Tom Brady, the first half, was consistently going after him. Mm-hmm. When you get to a point where Tom Brady ain't going after you,
mm-hmm.
and you are that dude who you clearly doing everything you're doing right now,
They don't call – and I'm a Michigan fan, but respect to Penn State. They don't call him linebacker university for no reason.
No reason.
Sean Lee, Micah Parsons – you know, the list goes on and on, I mean, geez.
All right, fellas, I got to get out of here, man. Get ready for my show.
Real quick, before you do, for the 137 people watching right now, please tell everybody where they can find you. And guys, you need to go subscribe, and of course, subscribe to me, subscribe to Bronx Sports Jedi with Kev, subscribe to Talking with KPG. KPG, please tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on YouTube at Talking With WIT KPG. We have shows on Wednesdays at 8 and Sundays at 7:30, right after the second game, right before the third game of the day, man. great show, man. We it's just a bunch of fans. That's all we are, fans, man. We're just fans of sports, and we talk trash. We interact with the crowd, man. We want everybody to jump in. We take not callers, but we'll put you on the screen if you want to. We talk trash. I mean, we don't have great stats. You know, we're not a stat guy. We just fans who talk trash. That's it, man. So we appreciate y'all, man. Come to the show, man. Come.
It's a lot
come
of fun. Chef Dan, you're going to have to go with us because there's a Redskins, a Washington football team. It's so hard after all these years. I apologize, but the Washington football team, there's a fan named Chuck Littlejohn. He's a hoot to talk to.
I just subscribed to the channel. I just subscribed, so I'm about to, yeah.
Same.
I appreciate you. My God. Hey, if y'all have a channel, man, make sure y'all send it to me as well, man, so I can support y'all too.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, Chef, you in New York too?
Yeah, I'm in New York.
All right. Are you a chef for real?
Yeah, I really cook it up. Like last night, I was calling the Knicks game, and I had some peach cobbler in the oven. I was cooking up for my girl's family. So, yeah, okay. I was doing that. Yeah.
That's what's up. That's what my daughter is actually at CIA up in New York, man.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's good.
If you feel comfortable, right G, there. Tell him your relative's name. Tell he's a Knicks fan.
My cousin is Charlie Ward. And I just told him.
We need to get him on the Return of the Knicks podcast. That's one of our channels.
I'm trying to get him on, man. I'm trying to.
We would love to interview him.
If at the very least, look, if we don't get him, I'd love to talk to you. If you a Knicks fan, just talk to you, chop it up and break it down, and just talk some Knicks.
Yeah,
because we all have a headache because of these Knicks right now.
Are you a Knicks fan? Gee, are you a Knicks fan? Yeah.
No, I'm a Laker fan.
Talk about your problems as well.
You need to join us on the basketball podcast, man. We would love to have you on. Definitely.
Definitely. All right, fellas.
Have a good one. Be safe, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Take care. Guys, we had a really good show coming up on an hour now. 147 people watching. Thank you. Really appreciate it if you could hit the like button and subscribe and tap the bell so you don't miss a thing. Of course, also with Bronx Sports Jedi Network, where you find Chef Dan and Kev and Kev's son Austin and myself and G Money, who's the guy over there that does basketball as well. Great show over there. Any parting shots and any trash talk from you New York fans? I can handle it all. I promise you. Oh wait, you guys.
Just put two to the back of the head and just be over with. Oh, wait. No.
Look at the flowers.
Yep.
Hold on a second. I got to stop this. We got 170 plus and only 4 likes. Can we get a little more likes?
Oh, no, we got more likes than that. We got more likes than that. I just checked.
We need more likes.
Right. We need more likes. We need more likes.
We need it. We appreciate it. We are an audience participation program, and we also want our feedback. Please let us know if you like, so we can continue bringing content. And we thank you for supporting A to Z Media, doing some great content. Check out the other videos, the Michigan videos, and the other Cowboy contents. We're trying to grow. This is Z is the creator of the network, the owner, and we're here just to support and try to help him grow the program. And it's better, it's nicer when others give you the flowers. And he's a passionate football fan. And we asking you to encourage you to give the like, subscribe, give us your feedback, and let them know, hey, we want to hear some more football content. So I really appreciate it, guys. And I appreciate you having me and speaking on your network, not just with the Michigan, tonight with the football. And we're here to support you 110%. Z.
Hey, I appreciate you guys and everybody watching. I appreciate you. I would like if you like the channel, and subscribed if you like the content. And if you don't, let us know if anything I can improve on or Kev and Chef Dan, if all of us, if we can improve, let us know, because we're here to improve. We're here to give you the best content we can possibly give you. We're not perfect. We're fans. You see us talking trash a little bit because we know each other. We're getting back and forth, but it's a lot of fun. And we just hit 200, 205 watching. We need some likes. If you guys like this program, like it. Also, we cover Michigan football. I'm going to start branching out. This is a brand new channel. I stuck with Cowboys and Michigan for the moment because that's what I love. But you heard us talking here. We can cover all football. We're going to go to the NFC East and the whole Big Ten Conference. I'm planning on, since today people actually started signing with their teams, National Signing Day isn't until February 1st, but they started signing today. We're going to, once all the signing's over, we're going to end up having a stream about that and about the draft and some prospects, you know, and play college football playoff coverage and all those things. So please, guys, if you like it, subscribe, tap that bell so you don't miss a thing. And of course,
yeah, one more thing. I don't know if Z allows it. I'm going to be at liberty to ask if he allows it. The Golden Knight Report from UCF. I think I'm feeling frisky enough to say I'm willing to do it on the for the network. I'm feeling
but
frisky.
Why? You're a Michigan fan.
Yeah, but I live in I cover and I live here.
Look, wait,
I
know, wait, wait, I know wait. The, wait, if y'all got that going, like Zach, I know you expert at the college. You got to tell me what you think of Jackson State and the team that Deion Sanders is building down there, because I've been trying. Like when I get the chance, I'll watch Jackson State. I enjoy watching his son be the quarterback that he is. I don't think his son, you know, is. I don't think his son is going to be a franchise quarterback, but we never know. He may develop in front of our eyes, but. I love seeing it. I love seeing what he's doing down there.
Just quick, and then we'll wrap it up. We'll get out of here on this note. But not just because it's an HBCU is why it's a great story, but it's that. But it's also that it's a small conference that's going to get some love because he's going to build this thing. And they're going to be – they just got the number one recruit in the nation, in the country, for this recruiting class to commit to them. And they have his son who – what better for a quarterback to develop than from the best defensive – corner of all time. He's going to teach you exactly how a defensive back, you know, uses their eyes against you, or how to, you know, how to fool people with your eyes, how to watch film. He's the best defensive back to ever do it. Not just because I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm being honest. He's the best defensive back to ever do it. As far as turnovers, the whole nine, shutting down a receiver, all of it. He traveled. He could cut off half of the field. He could also travel. He can do literally anything. What better for your quarterback? And also,
while playing baseball.
Yeah. He's one of the best athletes, most underrated athletes.
I can't believe you're giving a 49er all those roses.
All right, I'm just going to end the stream. No, I'm just kidding. With Deion, prime time, right? He knows how to be about build a brand at the same time giving 100% on the field and winning championships. He knows how to do it all. And you have that cachet. People are going to listen to you. Recruits, college kids, doesn't matter if they're 3-star, 5-star, 4-star, whatever it is, they're going to listen to what Deion Sanders has to say. They might not end up committing, but his recruiting's obviously top-notch. He got the number one recruit in the nation to go to Jackson State. So what's that going to do for the rest of the recruiting classes? I think he'll end up getting ridiculous amounts of respect, and watch for him to get a big Power 5 conference coaching job out of this. I don't know if he's going to leave. But watch for him to get.
That was my next question too.
Maybe USC gives him a call. Maybe other teams give him a call.
Can he come coach my Giants?
Hey, don't be surprised if Florida State calls for him. Alma mater returning back home. You know, they haven't been so good lately. You know, I'm down here living down in Florida. They talk a lot about. Also, we could do the Golden Knights or down the Florida football in the University of Miami. You know, University of Florida, Florida State, all those Florida teams. They're real big down here. There's a lot of content, and they haven't been so good. And that's a program that since the late Bobby Bowden passed away hasn't been really, you know, back to his heyday. And if he's doing a good job there in a small school like that. And the firepower that is Florida State here in Florida recruiting and out with Alabama players and so forth. And it's a hotbed. Tallahassee, they have a lot of good players. Look for them, and they have money. They have a lot of money that they generate. Look for them to maybe next year or give Deion an opportunity to come in and coach and bring all those recruits there. Yep. So keep an eye on that. I'm calling it from now.
Also, like you said, he was there. Also with Bobby Bowden, he knows exactly what Florida State football is supposed to be. He knows exactly the pinnacle of Florida State football, where the fans want to be, what it feels like. So he has that motivation, what that stadium's supposed to sound like, what, you know, right. all that stuff. But, you know, that long story short, you know, great for Deion Sanders, great for Jackson State. And I hope he stays there for at least 5 years. I want to see him build this program to a contender. Like we just talked about Jim Harbaugh building Stanford up from nothing before he left. You know, don't leave just now because you're getting some traction and all that. You know, be committed to that school for a couple of years.
Finish the job.
And harness your coaching skills, because, I mean, you want to harness all that before you end up getting, you know, a bigger job. Maybe more time here could help develop him for the next job. Yeah. You don't want to rush too early to the next job. I can see it happening.
You don't happen like Graciano. You know, he left Rutgers. But, hey, watch for Rutgers. Watch for Rutgers in the Big Ten. You know, I think they have a good recruiting class coming in. And I'm not going to say they're going to be a powerhouse in the Big Ten, but they're going to be trending in the right direction. They're going to be a tough out. So, Rutgers, on stock up.
That's the thing about the Big Ten. They're all tough teams, and they're all respectable teams. But as far as this Giants game goes, to wrap it up, my final shot, and I'll give it to you guys then, is – Dallas going to beat the brakes off this team, and we're not even going to have to talk about it. Dan, Kev?
38-10, Dallas. And you see it in my – you see it, I put it out there. Aiden to New York. The Lions don't deserve him. The Lions don't deserve him.
Neither do the Giants.
I love Dan Campbell, but the Lions don't deserve him.
The Vegas has Cowboys – 10 point favorite, 10.5 point favorite. Remember, bet with your head, not over your head. I said it's gonna be 10 on right on the head. So if you want to take the under, you could. But I think the Giants lose this game, but I think it's gonna be more competitive. I think it's gonna be 24-17 around there. You know, I'm like, wow, they actually score 17 points. I think so because of then Chef Dan is going to be window dressing. They're going to be trailing.
Oh, so kind of like the Chargers game.
Yeah, they're going to be trailing. It's nothing like, oh my God, they have an opportunity to actually win the game. I think it's going to be window dressing. I think they're going to jump up big. Fourth quarter is going to be like 24-7, you know, and then they'll just come up with two touchdowns or a field goal. You know, Graham Gano, by the way, is on the injured list as well, so I don't know who the heck is going to kick. Unless if it's too early, it's too early. It could be just the early reports, just to gamesmanship, and then come Friday, the real, you know, injury list really comes out. You know, Belichick every week used to tell you that Brady was injured, so go figure on that. So, you know, as of right now, those are the names on the list. I still think Cowboys win this game. Although I won't be surprised the Giants win, but I give it a 25% chance the Giants actually win. I think 75% is going to be Cowboys.
And then we'll get out of here. I think that as far as scores, since we're giving a score, I think it's going to be 28-14, and I think the defense is going to have. I think Dak's going to struggle a little bit more. I think he's going to make enough plays to win this game because he is a winner. He hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, but he just has that winner mentality. He's going to find a way to do enough to win this game. The offense is going to do enough in probably bad weather, bad turf from rain, like you pointed out, Kev. And I think the defense is going to get us a score. I think the defense is going to dominate this football game. But with that being said, Chef Dan and Kev, thank you guys so much for coming
on. You're welcome.
Dan, thank you for coming on the first time. Love to have
Most
you back.
Most definitely. I'm going to be back.
And it's a lot of fun. Hit those likes, subscribe. When you're done here, go to check out Bronx Sports Jedi and network and subscribe. And then after that, you can go ahead and talking with KPG just went live. So go check them out. But guys, it's been a pleasure. Until next time.